Let's turn to Daniel chapter 9, and we'll be looking at verse 24, 25, and 26. Daniel chapter 9, 24, 25, and 26. As we continue to look at some of the events that will be encapsulated for God's people in the last days, we have this passage out of Daniel talking specifically about some of those events. Some are clarified in the New Testament, especially in the books of Matthew chapter 24 and 25, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, book of Revelation. There's a lot of clarification there, and we'll get to some of those, but we want to start with this particular passage because it does, these three verses describe all of the events that will occur during a 490-year period that takes time, events, from Daniel, who by this time was an elderly man, to our future. And we're kind of sandwiched in between what would be happening between 445 BC and Jesus' death, and then his eventual return, which is still in the future. And so I'd like to talk about some of those events, and I decided to, so that we could be encouraged in what might be happening during these days that we're in. Just get a general understanding of why life is the way it is during our time. Let's read the three verses, and then we'll ask the Lord to help us understand. 70 weeks, our text says, but we understood last week that that's 77s. And we can tell from the context, it's 77s of years. So that's where we get 490. 77s are decreed about your people, Israel, and your holy city, which is Jerusalem. And then he's going to, Gabriel, talking to Daniel, is going to mention six things that are going to be accomplished during that 490-year period. To finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Know therefore and understand. Now we're going to break down the 77s. From the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem, to the coming of the anointed one, a prince, the word anointed one there in Hebrew is Messiah. So if there's any misunderstanding about who that's talking about, we know that it is Messiah. Messiah meaning the anointed one. Should be in capital letters. I'm not sure why in this particular version, translation, that it's not capitalized. It should be. Coming of an anointed one, Messiah, a prince, Nagid, there shall be 7 weeks. That means 77s. So it would be 49 years. Then for 62 weeks or years, it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, years, sevens, and the seven sevens, an anointed one will be, and the word is Messiah again, cut off and have nothing. Now this is after his death now. Now we're going to talk about another event, series of events. And the people of the prince who is to come, so there is a coming prince, But there is a people out of which that prince will come. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's talking about Jerusalem and the temple. Its end shall come with a flood. And to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. And he, meaning the prince who are going to come out of the people who destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. That's 1 week of years. That's 7 years. And for half of that week, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Father, looking back on some of these events, we catch a glimpse of some of the things you're talking about. Looking at the future, we're as unclear as your people must have been who lived during Daniel's time. And trying to piece together what you're talking about is not an easy task. As a matter of fact, I will confess for myself and all of us that it's an impossible task without the teaching from your Holy Spirit. It is our prayer to ask you for forgiveness for our sins that separate us from you, that break fellowship with you, and offend the Holy Spirit. Thank you that through Jesus we can have forgiveness upon our confession because of his work. Thank you. And as forgiven people, we ask for your favor and mercy to hear you speak. Please teach us, Father, what it is you'd like for us to be aware of, so that we can indeed, during our life, the days that you've given us, we can make much of Jesus. We can encourage other believers. And we can reach out and help those who are yet to be saved see the light of Jesus Christ through the gospel. And that as you call them, they can come into the light, be forgiven, and be saved. What a great work you've given us. We, as a group of people, apologize for spending so much time doing things that advance our desires. And help us focus the right amount of attention on the eternal things above the earthly things. Please help us, Father. And we wait for your instruction. In Jesus' name and because of him. Amen. The 77s that are mentioned here will be used to accomplish six things, and those six things are listed for us. Number one, to finish transgression. Now you and I will both say, if Messiah came to do that, why is there still transgression? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand what legislators did in the state of New York this week. There is a darkness and a lostness, and we will see when we look at the passage in 2 Thessalonians, a condemnation that has already come on some of those who are rulers in our country. And when we study it, we can understand why men and women celebrate the life, celebrate the death, the murder of life which God has created. It absolutely will take our breath away to understand what God is doing right now. And we'll get to that. But we would all say, how is transgression finished? Well, it is, and it isn't. I'll explain that more in just a minute when we make an application to communion. But to finish transgression talks about the extent of sin. So there was in prophecy here a declaration that during this period of time, there will be an end to the extension of sin. In other words, this is the word, the literal word that's used in the Hebrew text. There will be an incarceration of sin. It will be arrested. Well, that hasn't happened yet in one way, but in one way it has. Let's move on. To put an end to sin. Now, the first phrase talks about extent. This phrase talks about influence. Because even if sin does not extend its territory, it still wields vast influence. And there is a prophecy here that that influence will be stopped. And in a way it has, and in a way it hasn't. The third is to atone for iniquity. And this is just our word forgiveness. So during this period of time, leading up to the death of Messiah, sin, transgression, will be limited in extent, stopped in influence, and then forgiven. And for what group of people are we talking about? Israel. Now, keep that in mind. It's talking about Israel. So a day is coming, was and is, has and will, put an end to transgression in its extent. Can't grow anymore. Will stop its influence, and it will, those sins will be forgiven as a lot. All of them for the house of Israel. It's an amazing reality. But it goes on. So this is a group of three, which in the original text are grouped together as three. So there's two groups of three in the six. The next set, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now we would assume that if we finish transgression, we stop its extent, we stop its influence and it's forgiven, that there would be something coming in the backwash of those events. And it is true, it will bring in everlasting righteousness. So sin and its extended influence will be replaced with everlasting righteousness. There will be a time to seal up vision and prophet. So there's going to be a time in which there will no longer be a need for a prophetic office, for a prophecy of any kind, or a vision of any kind, because all of that will be finished and sealed as a completed work. So from Daniel's perspective, as Gabriel talked to him, this was still in the future. And some of that's still in the future for us. There will be an anointment of the most holy place. Now, I found it fascinating that I could not find any place in the Bible in which any holy place that has ever been constructed was ever anointed for a special purpose. Now, by virtue of its construction, it had the glory of God in it, but it was never anointed. It wasn't in the tabernacle that was in the desert with Moses and the people. It wasn't in Solomon's temple. It wasn't in the Ezrik Nehemiah temple. It wasn't in the Herodic temple. No temple. And even in the Ezekiel temple that will be yet constructed, no anointment. That only leaves one place where there could be any anointment of any temple, in Jerusalem. That's in the new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem, with the temple that God is constructing there. And that one will be anointed forever. It's an amazing reality. This isn't science fiction. This isn't Steven Spielberg or Stephen King or any other weird thinking movie makers. This is God talking. It is as real as the cross of Jesus. And it's up to us by faith to receive it, think about it, study it, and prepare for whatever God has prepared for us. So these six things Gabriel said would occur, and Daniel's writing it down for us to study, and it's going to take 70 years, 77s of years to accomplish, 490 years. Now, those things are divided up into three segments, those 77s of years. I'm not trying to confuse you, just stay with me on this. So those 77s of years are divided up into three segments. There is seven sevens, that'd be 49 years, and 62 sevens, which is, somebody do the math on that, 401. I didn't do the math on that. Somebody get that for me real quick. 62 sevens. So it says 14 carry the ones. It's 434? 434 years. So seven sevens and 434 sevens are used to accomplish two things. First, for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Now, by the time Gabriel has talked to Daniel here, the building of the altar, which was the first thing rebuilt when God's people came back to the land, and the foundation being laid of the temple has already started, and the construction on the temple has already occurred. And it would, in my opinion, and it would, in my opinion, and it would, in my opinion, take 49 years to accomplish that. That's the seven sevens. But it would take 62 sevens to get us to the birth, life, ministry, arrest, crucifixion, burial, resurrection of Messiah. So we have seven sevens, and we have 62 sevens, which makes 69 sevens. That's used for the rebuilding of Jerusalem and for the work of Messiah. It's very difficult to see that without conferring the original text because of the way that we put punctuation in the sentences of the original text. But to the best of my ability to understand, and it's limited, it seems to me that 49 years were designated for work on the altar, the temple, and the wall of Jerusalem. And then 62 sevens, 34 years to get to the birth, the life, ministry of Jesus, and his death. Consistent with Isaiah 53, when he died, he received nothing in return. He was assigned a grave among the wicked and the rich, though he had done no violence, nor was there any iniquity found in him. Jesus got nothing out of this. We get everything as a gift. Now, this leaves us with a final seven of Daniel. If we have 69 and somehow we've got to account for 70, we have one more series of 7 years, which still is in the future for us. Jesus finished the 69 sevens. And then there has been, since his ministry on earth finished, a period of time in which God could insert what is taught in Romans 9, 10, and 11. A period of time called the time of the Gentiles. And we'll study that in a couple of weeks. Where God allows us to be saved. It has always been planned for. It has even been prophesied. Though some disagree with that. But we'll look at that. That this is a time in which God has decided to save a specific number of Gentiles. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. A specific number. There is a number of Gentiles who are going to be saved. It is a specific number. We don't know what that number is. God alone knows that number. But when that number is reached, we will kick into the final week of years. We don't know when that's going to happen. Now, within, and I don't want to confuse you with this, how far should we go with this? Just understand at this point that that final week is what most prophecy teachers deal with, calling it either the tribulation or the great tribulation. That final 7 years in which God is working with Israel. And we are sandwiched in between what Messiah did and what Messiah will be doing. This makes our life extremely important in this regard. God wants us to make much of Jesus's finished work at the cross, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and that's his first coming, and his second coming. To make much of Jesus and what he has and will be doing. He was the Lamb of God, finished that work, but he's coming as the Lion of Judah, and we need to help people be prepared for that by drawing attention to him. So if you have a friend who is a believer, study this. Encourage them to be being prepared. All of us, I can say probably without exception, within the next century, we'll see Jesus. One way or the other. Here, there, or in the air. Amen? Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Few people here will live longer than 100 years. Maybe little ones, not yet born, but not likely even them, at least at this point. So we're going to see him. So the time lapse between today and your seeing Jesus is very short relative to the span of human history. So get ready. He is coming. Are you ready? Now, let's back up. Here's the application I want to make this morning because this is Communion Sunday. Let's back up to these six works that God is going to do during the 70 weeks of Daniel. 77s. I mentioned going through this that in a way it's been accomplished, and in a way, it hasn't been accomplished. Let me see if I can explain this. When Jesus came and fulfilled his work as Messiah, his work as Messiah was finished. Now, I'm going to give you an A word, and I encourage you to write this down because I think this could be the source of some meditation that you might want to do about this particular point. Jesus's work as Messiah was accomplished. It was accomplished. at the cross. So in a sense, finishing transgression, making an end to sin, and the forgiveness of iniquity, bringing in righteousness, sealing up vision and prophet, anointing the most holy person, has already been accomplished. Because when God decrees something, He decrees it as a finished, accomplished work. When God, before creation, assigned messianic work to Jesus, as far as God is concerned, that work, though no human being had ever been created, was already accomplished. We have been forgiven by a Savior who died before the beginning of creation, according to Revelation. The Lamb that was slain before the creation of the world. I can't think in those terms. I can't even. It's not even science fiction. It's a reality that we're not privy to. But when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit devised the whole plan of creation, they had already planned the whole event of salvation, knowing the creation would rebel against them. Jesus was Messiah before there was a need for Messiah. It was already accomplished. These six works were accomplished when Messiah finished his work. But you say, well, then why do we still have transgression and sin? And we don't see everlasting righteousness all that. In this regard, now please stay with me. It has been accomplished, but it has not yet been appropriated. That's the other A word I want you to write down. It has been accomplished, but it has not been appropriated. Okay, appropriated means that somebody somewhere is able to receive the work that was accomplished, and it becomes their own. Okay, let me see if you can understand from this perspective. Let's put a general date. Let's put a general date to the cross. What could we do together? What can we say together? Basically, let's go from 30 to 33 AD. Could we basically agree on that? I mean, some go back to 26, that's fine. 26 to 33 AD, a general time frame for the work that Jesus did at the cross. So he accomplished that work. Tell me, what is the date of your conversion? Someone just give me a date. Or give me a year. I'll use myself. No one want to get out there. The ice is kind of thin. 1971. Now, Jesus accomplished my salvation in 30 AD. It was not appropriated to me until 1971. Do the math. 1,940 years between the two. Jesus can finish a work and it not be given to you as a gift until 1,000 years later. That's the difference between accomplishment and appropriation. Do you know how many congresses, just a sidebar, have voted to build a wall on our southern border? Everyone since Jimmy Carter. What are we talking about these days? The money to build it. That's called an appropriation. We've already voted numerous times, Congresses have, numerous times, to build a wall, but they have not appropriated the money for that wall. See the sticking point? That's the way they get around it. It looks like they want security for our country. They just don't give us the money to do it. Now, how horrible if that applied to God. that he told us, your salvation has been accomplished, but you can't have it. He gives it as a gift. Based on what? Receiving it by faith. Someone who does not receive by faith the accomplished work of Jesus is not saved because it hasn't been appropriated to them. It hasn't been given. They haven't received it. And someone who does not receive by faith the gift that Jesus worked in finishing transgression, ending sin, all forgiveness, everlasting righteousness, seal up vision and promise, and anointing the most holy, they do not have a part in that great work. And so, Gabriel can say to Daniel, transgression's finished. We've put an end to sin. Iniquity has been done away with. We have everlasting righteousness. We've sealed that vision and prophet. And the most holy place has been anointed as a finished work. And yet, here we are, because all of it has not yet been appropriated. It's there. All of the effects are there. But it must be appropriated. And this is what God confronts us with. The choice to either receive that gift or resist that gift, you decide. Now, Israel is in that process. Their forgiveness, complete forgiveness, and the extent and the influence of sin completely done away with in their experience has already been accomplished, but it has not been appropriated to them. They have been resisting the work of the Spirit to be converted. But during that last 7-year period, that 1 week of years, Israel will be converted. All of them, every one of them, and they will receive the gift of salvation through Messiah. But in order for that to happen, God will, by necessity, pull Gentiles out of the way who are saved. And he will grant to Israel their forgiveness. Romans 9:10 and 11. What a joy for them and a joy for us. Get us out of the way to make it possible for them to be forgiven. Now you understand what Paul meant when he said, I wish for myself to be accursed, if by so doing all of my brethren could be saved. It starts making sense that there is coming a time in which God is going to need to take the church out of the way so he can deal with his people, Israel. Now you understand why so many governments are working so hard to annihilate Israel. You can see why our government, if it wasn't for just a few, but for a few, would turn completely against Israel. Because the enemy does not want Israel saved. The enemy wants Israel annihilated. But guess what? This has been decreed. And it will not change, and no army, no government, no people, no matter how crazed they are, will, or misguided, will change what God has decreed. And I say, that's great news. And I'm glad to live during this time so that I can pray for the conversion of Israel. Real peace for Israel. I can pray for her safekeeping until these last week of years occurs. Now my question is, and this is just preparatory for a future lesson, how far do we go into those last 7 years? When do we get a leave? When do we get the absolute appropriation of transgression being done away? The extent and influence of sin being done. Forgiveness coming. Everlasting righteousness. Oh, it sounds too wonderful to be true, except that it is true. And we are living in that time right now. As you age every day, you are closer to the appropriation of all of these six events. You just don't know it. When you woke up this morning, you were that much closer to the final appropriation. The reconciliation has already occurred. The appropriation is yet in your future. Though now you possess it as a title deed, faith is the title deed for things hoped for. The title of this is yours. It's written in the blood of Christ and given to you by faith. It's already yours. And so I can stand here, we can sit here and say, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to that. Can we go today? I hope so. But then, I don't hope so. Because I know some people that aren't ready for that. They have no idea what's coming. None. Not even a clue. Because they reject the revelation in which God spelled it out. I think, brethren, we have some work to do. And if you love anybody besides yourself, maybe you should talk to them. Maybe you should teach them. I don't know how many scores of times, surely not, calling, have asked people we did not know, only briefly. Has anyone ever sat down with you and shared with you what it means to have Jesus in your life? Would you like to have someone sit down with you and teach you what it's like to have Jesus in your life? Of the scores of times we've asked those two questions, we've only been turned down one time. Just under 200 times we've asked that question. One time we've been denied. That's pretty good odds. If you have anybody that you'd like to talk to about Jesus, just ask them. It's not because we're special. I'm dumb as a box of rocks. I know a lot about agriculture. I'm learning about the Bible. Just a simple guy. Just wants people to know. What does it mean to have Jesus in your life? And this is what it means to have Jesus in your life. If you have anybody that wants to get rid of transgression and sin and be forgiven and walk in righteousness and have an eternal home with God, not just figuratively, but really, then ask them the questions and be willing to teach them. Don't leave it to Rick. Don't leave it to Todd. Don't leave it to John. Don't leave it to Josiah. Don't leave it to me. Leave it to you. And take responsibility for the message of Jesus. Now, when we come to celebrate communion, these two thoughts come to mind. Our salvation was accomplished at Calvary. But it wasn't appropriated until you received the accomplished work by faith. You simply came to Jesus on his terms and said to him, by virtue of faith, I need you, I want you, I'm not much to speak about, would you please save me? He took you at your word and began that work. Paul rightly says, we do not see all that we're going to be. Amen. But you can be ready for what you're going to be by giving Jesus Christ freedom to make all of your decisions. How you live, where you live, what you buy, what you don't buy, how you're entertained, how you're not entertained, what you think about, what you don't. All of those decisions brought to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are Lord as well as Savior. I want to follow you. Lead me on, O King Eternal. And he will take over and live inside you and do things that's difficult to describe. So I had a troubling night. 2 nights ago. So troubling that I was up during the middle of the night, unable to sleep. That is really unusual for me. If I have 30 minutes, I can sleep 29 of them. And it doesn't matter where I'm at. These days, I can fall asleep at a basketball game. But I couldn't sleep, and so I'm praying. Troubled. Just a lot of things troubling me. You know, I realize I'm not supposed to be anxious about anything, right? Yeah, I know the verse. I'm not supposed to be, but I was. Am. So what am I going to do with this? I didn't know what to do with the things. But one thing happened, and it made all the difference in the world. Two songs began ringing through the ears of my mind and my heart. I actually, not, please understand, those who are listening, it wasn't like there was a choir of angels in the living room singing. It wasn't like that. But inside my head, I could hear the songs. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. We don't sing that anymore. But we should. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. So the words of these songs are just ringing through my mind and in my heart. And I said to myself, self, it doesn't mean you're insane if you talk to yourself. You just simply said, self, what are you doing? Go back to bed. Okay. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Lean where you want upon his breast. God will take care of you. And just sing to yourself. And so I just sang myself to sleep. I didn't make it through the first verse. But I'm so grateful to the Lord for being in here by virtue of his work, his gift, his offer. All I said was yes. And he does the rest. What a joy to live like that. What rejoicing that I can see the end of transgression, finished transgression, end of sin, forgiveness, because iniquity's gone. What a joy to have that. That there's everlasting righteousness, and I now possess it. That these things have been sealed not done away with. No more additions. This is it. Get it from here into here into here. Then live it by faith. And the most holy place has been anointed, and I shall go there. There is no need for sun, because the Lamb is the light. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. When we take communion, we're celebrating the finished work of Jesus. It's been accomplished. And He has offered it as an appropriation for you, if you would like to receive it. When we pass communion to you, we're asking you, in a sense, would you like to celebrate that accomplishment and appropriation with us? If so, by faith, we ask you to partake. Let's honor Him by taking it the right way.